Recording started.
Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection on this very bright, if not nippy day. So as always, we begin our time and by setting our intention with Naturally 7 and Let It Be. Bear with me. Everything's a little sluggish this morning. I think it's adjusting to the temperature change. It's been a while since we've had technical hitches going on. Okay, let's try again. It looks like those that are in charge of our Sunday soul is not allowing us to have Let It Be. So let's just get straight into it. As I grow older, I learn not to fuss or fret when things don't go according to plan. Although sometimes it takes me a while to get to that place where I am at peace, where I can be accepting of what is happening and not get too whacked out of shape. Sadly, a couple of weeks back, that was the case, when a situation occurred which totally took me out of my sense of well-being, my sense of surrender, my sense of my spirituality. And I've hinted at it over the last couple of weeks, and I want to share it a little more this morning. Because always I believe that we learn from each other's lessons. Life is way too short to learn from your own mistakes, so try and learn from others, I remember reading a long time ago. And so, towards the end of August, the 23rd, I'd reached the point where I felt that I was ready to get a new cat. Two, in fact. I came across a rescue site, and after about my third attempt, I came across two cats that I felt were for me. Their owner had died, and they'd been in the cattery for 4 months. One was black, one was gray. And the black one looked exactly like my beloved Milo, who had passed away a year ago. So off I set off to Potter's Bar to pick up these two cats. The lady was insistent that I should view them before I take them home, and I said that wasn't necessary. I knew they were for me, and I wasn't going to make that journey twice. I got everything ready, or so I thought. Got new beds, new little toys, new everything for them. Cleared the space where they were going to be and where I knew I had to keep them in for 3 weeks. The one thing I didn't check, though, was the cat flap. Months back, I'd checked it, and it was locked, but I did not check it this time. And after Milo had passed, I'd taken his collar, because it was a magnetic collar to allow him only entrance through the cat flap, and I stuck it with sellotape on the cat flap so that I would know where it was. Off I went, got these two little cats, came back home, brought them in, and finally settled them after one had scuttled one way and was hiding, the other scuttled the other way and was hiding, and eventually managed to get them both together. Put the food down, let them to be. Lo and behold, when I came back, I was pleased to see that they had eaten, but I couldn't see them anywhere. They weren't hiding, they weren't in their little tunnel thing, and I suddenly realized they had escaped. Because I hadn't checked the cat flap, it was open, and off they went. I cannot tell you the depth of despair to which I sank, of my own foolishness and what I considered recklessness, having rescued two kittens, well, they weren't kittens, a four-year-old and a two-year-old, I had now allowed them to escape. I woke up the Saturday morning, this was late Friday night, I woke up the Saturday morning with a heaviness that I could not shake. I started to print posters and go and put them out. And then I posted it on a local neighborhood site, And people have very kindly started coming up with suggestions of what I could do and where else to post the notifications, and they would post it on Facebook and so on and so forth. And so Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I was immersed in posters, knocking on doors, walking the streets, looking for these cats, and beyond bereft. The Monday, finally after my last extensive poster sticking and knocking on the neighbors' doors, I came back home, and I realized that I had done everything humanly possible to locate these cats. But in truth, I hadn't lived my own belief system, my own reality of going to spirit first. Of course I'd asked God, and I almost got to the point of begging and petitioning, which you know is not something I advocate we do. Such was my guilt around these two cats. Such was my disappointment in myself that I had been so careless. I'd recognized that I had been very scatty and scattered of late, and put it down to that I was now free and out from studying and writing and researching, that I'd gone so far, the pendulum had so swung far the other way, that I was not in my usual self. So all the guilt, all the beating myself up, all of that I was dealing with, until the Monday when I got to the point of, I did everything and have done everything humanly possible. Why have I not let this go and let spirit take control? And one of the things you always hear me saying is that you go to spirit first. Because I felt so responsible for the loss of these two cats, whilst I went to spirit, spirit wasn't my primary focus. I was focused in the world of outer effects, listening to what people say, following through on their suggestions, listening to people calling me up, telling me they saw a cat how many roads away, how they saw one run in front of them, how they saw one that was dead, all of this. And this is the thing when I say to you, when you are dealing with something, to keep it to yourself as much as possible, or be very selective with who you share it with. Because you then have to deal with the added negativity that people bring with their own drama and their own story to add to yours. And so I recognized that I had done and gone outwardly before going inwardly. And always, we are not praying to a God sitting in the sky somewhere. We are inwardly connecting with the source of being, the ground of all that is, that knows what to do and how to do it. All this time I'd been putting food out and leaving the door open, praying that the cat would come back. And the food was going, but I didn't know who was taking the food. And I was speaking to a friend of mine, and he said, there's something called PetCube. We have it. You should get this. It has a little camera, and you can record it. There's an app on your phone, and it will beep you when the cat passes by, and you can reward it with a treat. I said, excellent. Got this camera. Set it up, didn't put the treats in because I wanted to see who it was first. And lo and behold, I saw it was one of the cats. So now I set about deciding how I was going to capture this cat. So bit by bit each night, I would bring the bowl of food further into the kitchen so that the cat would have to come in. Then I thought, right, what I will do now is tie a long ribbon onto the door, and then when I know it's in, I'll close the door behind. I tried that, except the rustle of the ribbon startled the cat and it ran off, and I was too afraid to pull the door tightly in case I hurt it. Then I realized that wasn't going to work. So for the next few nights, I just left it and watched. Then I realized what I could do is hide in the other room, and then when I saw the cat, close the door from behind. So this I did, set it up, put the food down, and went and waited, and waited, and waited. And this was like, for those of you that can remember the old Bugs Bunny, it's like when the hunter was trying to catch a Bugs Bunny would always outsmart the hunter. This is what this cat was doing with me. For about 4 hours, I sat waiting, checking, to see if it passed by. In the end, I went in the kitchen, only to see that it had been, ate the food, and ran off again. I was determined that I was not going to let this cat go again. And so I put down more food, and set almost watching the phone constantly. And lo and behold, in a matter of about an hour or so, he came by. I quietly opened the door a little wider from where I was, got the broom, and shut the door behind it. It went ballistic. It went crazy. It was jumping up and doing all manner of things, knocking, flying things everywhere. But I got it. And eventually I got it into another room and settled it. And the reason why I want to share this with you this morning is the recognition that when I had gone outwardly first, did all those humanly things that I thought I had to do, it was like consciousness, divine intelligence was waiting for me to allow it to do its work when I went inwardly. And when I had gone inwardly, when I recognized that I haven't really surrendered this to spirit, I hadn't really listened to what God was waiting to reveal to me. I was too busy on the outer doing the doing and the doing. And when I had stopped doing the doing and relaxed into what I know is my truth, to live it, to grow it, to believe it, to express it, then spirit was able to guide me as to how I was going to capture the first cat. The second cat is still missing, but the day I captured the cat on Wednesday, the next morning there was a text from my neighbor to say he'd seen the gray one, and that she was well, and she jumped up on the fence and off she ran, and he would take me and show me where. And so he did, and I've lived here for 32 years and never knew there's this little alleyway between the houses, and there's an old boathouse. And it's like each time, spirit, when I've surrendered, allowed someone to bring the information that I needed. So while she hasn't returned, I know she's on her way. I know that this is her home, and I know that we, the three of us, have journeyed to this, to have these lessons together. It has brought me to a place of deeper trust and faith, because I recognized that whilst I had faith and always will have faith, I had not trusted God first. I trusted the world and the world of appearances and all that I thought I had to do in the world. Ordinarily and normally, I would never go outwardly first. I would always go inwardly. But such was my guilt, such was my despair, such was my felt and failed responsibility. It caused me to forsake my truth and do the outer things instead of doing the inner things. Faith is something, Debbie Ford says, that is a friend by our side. And when we allow it in, faith acts as a floor beneath our feet. And when we make choices rooted in faith, we trust that there is a power and an unseen force guiding us. When we have faith, we know that we are being taken care of. Faith gives us the ability to look beyond our immediate circumstances and imagine brave new choices for the future. Faith means trusting in something beyond what we know. Having faith that we are part of a bigger whole allows us to melt away our separateness. Faith gives us strength and reassurance and leaves us bathed in the wisdom that we are never alone. You see, always I believe that we never ever reach the point where we say we have our faith and that's it. We are always continuously growing, expanding, and evolving our faith. Faith is a noun. It what describes what is necessary, but trust is the verb. Trust is what we have to do. And trust comes with surrendering. In this instance, I thought it was not enough to surrender, but I had to be the doing. I had to do the doing. I had to post. I had to this. I had to do that. And whilst some may say that's necessary, and it probably was, I know in my heart of hearts that I needed to go to God first. Not God last. And so, my divine beloveds, the invitation this morning is always to how do we continuously grow our faith? How do we continuously expand? How do we embody this truth so that in the time of crisis, it supports and sustains us? that it illuminates our path so that we know where we should go and what we should do. I do not criticize and condemn myself now. Every moment is a Google. So I recognize this was part of what I needed to learn and unfold in this next growth of development for myself. I am looking always, how can I expand in my consciousness? And this episode with these two cats has taken me deeper into a more clearer understanding of how important it is to be focused, to be aware, to be in the moment, to truly look and be open to what it is before you to do, and do it thoroughly. My science of mind reading this morning is entitled Seeing Through Spiritual Eyes. Our first quote comes from Howard Thurman for The Inward Journey, who says, out of our eyes, as we listen, there leaps the steady glow of recognition, while our lips speak of superstition and illusion. The Essential Ernest Holmes, page 41, says, we must strike out for the heights, away from the mists of fogs of man's doubts, and must see through the eyes of spirit. The author writes, what does it mean to see with spiritual eyes? Both Howard Thurman and Ernest Holmes describe it as seeing above and beyond appearances to the truth of every circumstance. It is seeing spirit as the center of all things when things are as we would not like them, It is seeing spirit as the center of all things when things are as we would like them, and to be and when they are not. It is seeing possibility rather than limitation. How do we see life with spiritual eyes? One way is to see every experience as spiritual and sacred. Spirit runs through every aspect of life, no matter how big or small, the personal encounter or event that takes place. See it as an encounter with some aspect of spirit, an opportunity to experience the divine. Life is not random, but instead is an adventure into the unknown, where each of us explores who we are as spiritual beings living a human experience and our relationship to one another. Our world would be quite different if we saw each other and all things with spiritual eyes. We would see that we are all divine and made in the image and likeness of spirit. We would see the sacredness of all life and love, and that love is the glue that holds everything together. This is the perfect time to practice seeing all that unfolds in life through spiritual eyes. Let us let go of false ideas of who each of us is and see each other in a fresh new way that celebrates the eternal spiritual nature of all life. I had forgotten to use my spiritual eyes whilst I was going through that episode. And so my story, it's long, but I didn't know how to edit it because it was so cute. So I'm just going to read it for you. It's a little girl's answered prayer. By Catherine Lee. It had been a long day as I read our final story to my daughter at bedtime. I'd spent hours trying to figure out how to pay our bills, knowing my husband was working a job he hated, but it was better than no job at all, which was where we'd been not long ago. We prayed and prayed for him to get back into teaching and out of the paper buying business he'd been stuck in for the past few years. Please let me see a frog tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I hugged my 4-year-old daughter goodnight and tucked her into bed, a frog. Her prayer was simple and cute, something from a book of children's prayers. Well, Michelle, I said, I haven't seen any frogs yet this year, and we'll just have to wait and see. I felt bad that she would be disappointed. God can do anything, she announced, just like Daddy. A lump filled my throat. She trusted in her Father and her Heavenly Father. Difficult times had made me doubt God's love for me. I wanted to give her my own reassurance that God loves her, even if she doesn't see a frog, but somehow it wasn't easy to give her the hope I wasn't feeling. I turned off the light and went into the kitchen to do the dishes. With hands sunk in a hot, soapy water, I closed my eyes. I know it's a silly request, God, but there's something about the way she truly believes you'll answer her prayer. Do you hear her? Do you hear me? My husband returned home late from his volunteer work at church with the English as a second language class for refugees. Michelle had been asleep an hour. Oops, laundry, I said, jumping up to move the wet clothes from the washer to the dryer. I turned on the garage light, startled by a movement near the open door that led to the backyard. Our dog followed us into the garage and then ran and barked in the corner, stopping to sniff at something I couldn't see. He whined and wagged his tail and began to growl. Stop it, Tippy, I shouted. Right, he'd wake up Michelle. I took a careful step forward, ready to run out if one of our giant fast-moving water bugs should suddenly hit my head. It wasn't a water bug near the back door. It wasn't a water bug. Near the back door sat a large bug-eyed brown frog. Outside, I ordered the dog. Quick, I shouted, wake up Michelle. My surprised husband stared at me as I quickly explained about our daughter's prayer. I didn't tell him I hadn't believed it wouldn't be answered or that a froggy prayer was tied to my own fear that God might not care about us. I just told him it was important that she see the frog that night. Michelle, wake up, look what I have, I said, holding the frog close to her. God really answered your prayer. My heart beat fast as I expected her to leap out of bed with excitement. She held the frog and petted it, more sleepy than interested, and not the least bit surprised her prayer had been answered. I knew he would, she said, as she fell back onto her pillow and closed her eyes. But I was overwhelmed at the quick response to her simple prayer. What a loving father to see how important such a small child's request was, a chance for her to see the power of an earnest prayer. I carefully took the front out into the front yard and put him into the bushes. He hopped away and I grinned, wondering if he was off to answer someone else's prayer. My faith took a leap that night as I watched the frog go. Sometimes my daughter teaches me more than I teach her, and sometimes a frog is more than just a frog. This time, it was a small way for God to show me in a huge way how much he loves our family and he is listening. That story is so cute, I had to share. Because it is about our surrender and trusting and knowing that the divine knows what we need and knows what to do and how to do it when we get ourselves out of the way, when we stop questioning. My poem is called Faith by Adrian Waite, who says, faith is the light of the next step, illuminating a way ahead without revealing the direction. Faith will sustain and comfort through our darkest hours. Faith upholds the unseen hope. It is the seasoning that endures the pain of life whilst revealing that misery can be optional. Faith is a light in the darkness, surrounded yet not consumed. In the storms of our lives, faith is the stillness seated at the rail of our boat. I like that last line. Faith is the stillness seated at the rear of our boat. So if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within. Realize that faith is seated in our boat. And if you haven't already, bring your attention to your breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. Always I like to remind you the words of Job, who said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. So say to yourself as you breathe in, this is my breath as I breathe in. And as you breathe out, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe out. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out. In. Out. In. Out. In. Out. In. Out. In. Out. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in deeper. and exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out slower. Deeper. Slower. Deeper. Slower. Deeper. Slower. Deeper. Slower. Deeper. Slower. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in healing. And as you breathe out, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Healing. Forgiveness. Healing. Forgiveness. Healing. Forgiveness. Healing. Forgiveness. Healing. Forgiveness. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in faith. And as you breathe out, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe out trust. Faith. Trust. Faith. Trust. Faith. Trust. Faith. Trust. Faith. Trust. Here in the cave of the heart, the sanctuary of the soul, let us take a moment to be intentional for ourselves for our week ahead. To see ourselves being, doing, having, experiencing whatever it is that we feel is important to us. And always as we see in our mind's eye, let us add the feeling component to what and how we will feel as we experience it. Take a deep breath in as you bring your attention into our circle of prayer. Always we know that God, the divine source of all that is, whose center is everywhere and circumference is nowhere, is the divine intelligence, the one mind that we all think into and receive from it, our ideas, our thoughts, our inspirations. So we know that there's nowhere where this divine intelligence is not. So you're invited as always to hold anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. O divine, beloved, ground of being, source of all that is, Mother, Father, God. As we consciously come together in this moment to give thanks, to give you the praise, to give you the glory for for all that you are doing in our lives. We give thanks that as our faith increases, we see more and more of your life expressing in and through and as us. And we are grateful. We're holding in our hearts at this time the people who are suffering from the hurricanes in the Bahamas, who have lost loved ones, their livelihoods, their homes, their treasured pets and possessions. We hold in our hearts at this time all those across the globe who are suffering from floods or droughts or any other disaster. We're holding in our hearts at this time all that is happening in this beautiful nation and country of ours and across the globe where there is so much unrest. We're holding in our hearts because we know that only you can resolve all that is happening. We know that it's only as we surrender to you and allow you to guide and direct us as to what we can do to make our part and be the better place in this world at this time. Only as we allow ourselves to be guided by you can we make the difference. So we wait upon you and allow you to guide us, to direct us, that we can help create the world that is right, that is equal, that is free for all. We hold in our hearts our leaders at this time who so need guidance and wisdom. But we ask that they may seek the greater good and not their own self-interests. We hold in our heart all that is happening in the natural world, the fires that are burning, the polluted waters, the stagnant air, the creatures that are suffering. We hold all in our heart and ask that mankind realizes that we are only caretakers, that this earth belongs to you and all that is in it. Divine beloved, ground of being, source of all that is. For all those who are in need of a healing touch at this time, who are going through various things, we know that disease is not of you or from you. But we know that health, wholeness, and healing is our divine birthright. So we speak this word for their healing, for their renewal, for their restoration. For those that have transitioned and returned home back to you, we ask that the angels comfort those left behind, that they may realize that love is eternal, that life, your spirit, your presence is always, always and everlasting. O divine, beloved, ground of being, source of all that is, may our faith be strengthened and emboldened as we surrender and trust in you more and more, moment to moment. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever grateful. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Raise up your hands, stretch and wiggle your fingers, and affirm. I open myself to oneness and all of life. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart, and affirm. I radiate love to all whom I meet. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm. I speak only words that affirm the quality of life I want. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open facing outwards, and affirm. I'm continuously grateful for all my blessings, seen and unseen. Bend your elbows and make small circles with your wrists and affirm. I let go of any real or perceived shortcomings I may have. Take a deep breath in as I unmute the phones for our affirmations and Buddhist meditations.
All guest lines have been unmuted. Press #6 to mute your line.
Repeat after me our affirmation from our Science of Mind reading. I see life through the eyes of spirit.
I see life through the eyes of spirit.
In every moment.
In every moment.
Our Buddhist meditations. If anyone has hurt or harmed me,
if anyone has hurt or harmed me,
knowingly or unknowingly,
knowingly or unknowingly,
in thought, word, or deed,
in thought, word, or deed,
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone,
if I have hurt or harmed anyone,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed,
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace.
Contented and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
Now a prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly.
Radiating brightly.
I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally.
Expressing unconditionally.
I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly.
Manifesting exuberantly.
I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal, unceasingly.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Well, my beloved, as we come towards the close of our Sunday soul connection. Oh, I did not share our sacred text, so let me do that. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I think that makes a perfect benediction. And so as I leave you with those words from Isaiah 41:10, I wish you a very blessed and beautiful week. My closing song today that I wanted to share with you is Talma Man and Timbaland, and it's entitled Through It All. Enjoy.
Trying hard to knock me out. It's hard, but I'm fighting. Can't let my faith waver now. Chains always feel good. For me, as long as I keep standing, you'll give me the victory. Because you promised in your word that you would never leave me. You will never leave me nor forsake me, no. Through it all, you're with me, yeah. Through every tear, through every pain, oh. Every mountain high, every valley low. Oh,
I wish you a very beautiful week ahead. I look forward to joining you on Thursday for our midweek prayer, our 10 of 10. And until then, have a happy Sunday. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.
Okay.